Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Everybody, just a quick technical note before we get to the episode this week. So iTunes apparently aimed a protocol robot at the podcast section in the last week, and for the longest time this show had two feeds on Ancast. There was a weird one that no one used but still updated, and then there was the regular one that it seemed everyone used that updated as well. And you're not supposed to have duplicate feeds on iTunes. We contacted them in the past about having our duplicate feed removed. Of course, we got no response. But anyway, so years later, you know, that's been there since 2008 at this point. They finally went in and removed the duplicate feed. Now, they didn't remove the right feed. The one that they got rid of was the one that had all of our ratings and reviews on it, which I'm pretty sure most everyone used. Now, the show should still update in your iTunes. You should still be subscribed to the show. But if you want to make sure, go back into iTunes, go to the iTunes store, type in Ancast, and resubscribe using the new feed. It's not a new feed. It's been there for a while. But just if you're not getting the show for whatever reason, go back in and do that. And as a big favor to us, and we would appreciate it very much if you would do this, since the feed that they took down had all of our ratings and reviews on it, we would love it if you would go back in and just do it one more time for us. If you've ever left a rating or a review, go back and put it back in there under the new feed. We would really appreciate it. We have appreciated and loved all of the feedback you guys have given us, and it hurts to lose that. So if you have a minute, just go back into the iTunes store. Let us know whether you love us or hate us. And yeah, we would love you forever if you did that. So thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening. And now let's just get to the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. It is our semi-annual or biannual, however many times we do this a year, it's a game show. Since it's E3 week, and the only thing anyone cares about this week, maybe any other week, is video games. So joining me once again, it's author of the X Button, it's Todd Ciolek. Hey, Todd.
Hey.
And back in the saddle for yet another podcast, it's two guys from Fast Karate for the Gentleman, Dave Riley.
Video games.
And Joel White.
Hey, Zach, thanks for having us.
Oh, I should also mention Dave is now a freshly minted ANN game critic, so you can read his reviews on our front page. So it's been a barren couple of months, not a whole lot of video games out in the last, like, 3-4 months, and apparently not later this year either, because everything's been canceled or moved to 2013. but it is E3 time, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but I sort of want to know what you guys, if anything, what you have been playing. I guess we'll start with Todd.
Okay, well, I was recently playing Akai Katana. That's the new shooter from Cave, I guess. Rising Star Games brought it out. And it is kind of a big deal for them, I guess, because they've been releasing Japanese games in Europe for years, and this is their first release for North America. And it's not terrible. It's a cave shooter, so it just throws all these bullets at you. Only in this one, you see it from the side instead of being a vertical shooter, and they throw lasers at you in addition to, you know, all these bullets the color of Skittles. And it's really not that great, though. It's just getting kind of repetitive, to be honest.
Well, more repetitive than any other shooter?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The thing about the cave shooters is that they basically throw all these bullets at you, and they give you some sort of gimmick to either dodge them or absorb them or otherwise deal with them. And this time, it's just tedious. I mean, the game also, it doesn't really challenge you in terms of the continue system. You can credit feed however you like, because apparently you're supposed to, you know, pace yourself and give up after you die once or something like that. That's crazy bullshit. But
I mean, I can't be the only person that just turns the game off as soon as I die in a shooter. I mean, I think that's probably
pretty common,
right? A lot of shooters
do. That's how you're supposed to get the high score and everything. But it got to the point where I was just credit feeding my way through, and I got bored on the last boss. So that was about it. And Cave really has made some decent shooters. And if you're on live, I recommend Guange, whatever they call it. And
that's the one where you're sort of marching up the screen as it's three kind of samurai-esque characters.
Yeah, it's like Pocky and Rocky, but in hell or something like that, you know. And their best shooter is probably the ESP Galuda and the series. And unfortunately, those aren't available in the U.S. yet for some reason. You can buy the Japanese version for the Xbox 360, and it's region-free, but you can't get it on Live or any place like that. Huh. I will say, though, I played Akai Katana for longer than I played Death Smiles or Death Smileys.
it would be better if it was Death Smileys.
I could not
the
really
winky
get
face.
It.
The infamous winky face enemy.
Oh, God. And what was the ad they ran for that? It was Death Smiles at Us All, Lollies Smile Back.
Yeah. I bought the special edition, which I guess was the only edition of Death Smiles. And it came with the Xbox faceplate.
Uh-huh.
And it was the only Xbox faceplate I ever owned. And I would just leave it around my apartment. And my friend would come over and just threaten to put it on my Xbox. He's like, I'm going to do it this time, and then everybody's going to know. But it's weird to me that you say you got bored by Akai Katana, because I found the feedback loop in that game to be so crazy and so rewarding, where, I don't know, I feel like I'm kind of out of the shooters game, and I never really got into many cave shooters. But the way that game works, where you're gathering up energy by killing enemies.
Right.
And this energy bar fills in direct proportion to how many, or inverse proportion to how many lives you have left.
Yes.
So if you have one life left, you have a much longer energy bar. And you can start it, so you only have one life ever. And you flip that energy bar to turn yourself into this invincible thing that can reflect or absorb bullets.
Right.
But if you reflect the bullets, they become homing bullets.
Right. And one thing I did like is the homing bullet thing, where you basically push all the bullets away from you and then they come back after just a second.
But then you do – I haven't played it in probably a couple weeks now, so I'm kind of rusty on the mechanics. So you reflect the bullets away, but then you have to do this thing where you there's also three different modes the game operates under, and they all have different rules. Essentially what you're doing is you are reflecting those bullets on purpose so you can absorb them. So you can get these crazy point chains, but you have to do it with enough restraint that when you're invincible man, because you turn into a giant man, so you're invincible giant man mode.
Yes.
That eventually turns out
into a man.
It runs out, and then you're back as this shitty normal ship that can't take a hit, and there's all these homing bullets coming at you. So you basically have to go back into that mode and survive for long enough to flip back to invincible giant man mode.
Yeah, and it does get... It's interesting at first. It got kind of repetitive for me. And I think the problem I have with a lot of, cave shooters in general, and a lot of modern shooters at that, is that their method of design is just to throw bullets at you.
Yeah.
Use an example, I was playing Radiant Silver Gun on the Xbox 360, which I think everybody should do because it's amazing. And the thing about that is it's designed in a way that doesn't really rely just on the streams of bullets. They actually tried to put some thought into the level layout. And I'm just kind of disappointed that shooters don't really do that much anymore. Even in the Akai Katana, you probably saw the stages have no actual obstacles in them. It's just a straight line of bullets.
Well, that's kind of...
I just missed that, really.
That's kind of two different schools of shooter design.
Right.
There's the Gradius or R-type thing where you're dodging stuff. And then there's the everything else, the cave shooters or the treasure shooters. Treasure makes you dodge stuff. But I feel games like Radiant Silvergun and Ikaruga were the beginning of the end for my shooter experience. That's when I sort of began to understand that bullet hell shooters just weren't going away. And they just require so much memorization. Even, I don't know, they all require memorization. You have to remember which path to take in Gradius. But
bullet hell shooters don't require as much memorization because they're a little bit more about the reflex of having all the bullets come your way.
But at the same time,
there's no level layout.
You're playing Ikaruga, and it's all right, the boss shoots this pattern. And if I don't know what the pattern is beforehand, I'm going to get stuck up in it. And that's where I kind of lost it.
Right, because Ikaruga is almost more like a puzzle game where you have to know what's black and white and have the solutions all figured out beforehand. So it's still really unique, I think, among shooters, because there's not too much that makes you constantly flip like that. Cave's tried some things like that, but I don't know. Cave isn't treasure for me, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I always like caves, they always have the silly, purple grenades that fire at you, and I like that art style, but the underlying character art always looks kind of crappy to me. And I guess that's just sort of their style, but it looks so just the way the two styles clash, like how the shiny bright bullets look and then how like the underlying stage art looks.
Oh, you mean like the actual sprite stuff and things like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you basically got this hyper-colored thing, and then you've got like this World War II looking Miyazaki-ish ship shooting them out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know, but it never bothered me in like Giga Wing or Mars Matrix, and those are like some of my favorite games.
Ooh, I kind of hate those, but really? Well, that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite shooter, and the last one I played longer than maybe 5 minutes, I think is Phalios.
For the Genesis.
Yeah.
Well, you guys didn't even check out Jamestown? That's a recent shooter that was pretty fun.
I don't really like shooters at all. Like, especially anything that's just requires that much precision control. I can't do it. I'm just because I'm shitty at them. I don't like – it's not that I hate them. It's just I'm so bad at them. It's the same reason I don't play, like, RTS. Because I suck at it.
I feel you. Jamestown was something that survived almost entirely just on its story conceit, which was like they've transplanted New America in like the 16th or 17th century to Mars.
Isn't that dangerously close to steampunk?
Yeah, I guess it's like its own its own sort of its revolutionary punk.
Yeah, yeah.
I looked at it and said steampunk. Nope. Never mind. Anything else, Todd?
Not too much else. I've been playing Skullgirls a little bit, and decent. It's a good fighting game. I really like the gameplay, although I have to admit, it makes me just want to go back and play Darkstalkers in a lot of ways. And
yeah, so I'm glad somebody else felt that way, too. That's exactly the impression I got from Skullgirls.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, it makes me want Darkstalkers 4 even more, but, well, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Cool. All right. Joel, what you've
been...
So
that's my depressing thing. Go ahead.
That's cool. Joel, what have you been checking out?
I mean, we pretty much already alluded to it. Of late, my life has been consumed by Diablo 3, which I kind of thought it wouldn't be, but I think I played enough LoL that if you give me, you know, sort of the top-down perspective and the ability to click on things, I will enjoy playing your game.
Wow. So PC market, that's for you.
Yeah.
So how's Diablo going?
It's going pretty good. It's not like... They added a couple elements that make it a little more arcadey. I was actually talking to Jason from Atomic Trivia while we were actually on Skype while we were playing Diablo 3 together. And he had some good points. They kind of took away a lot of the things that made Diablo seem like just totally stupid and grindy, where you have no cooldown on health potions. They added the health globes that you can pick up as enemies die. So there's a little more kind of, I don't know, like action-oriented stuff. It's not just walk up to things and beat the crap out of them or cast Flame Wall and run away. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, you get up to like Hell Mode and you're fighting these minions that have powers that make it impossible for you to play by yourself. And that's kind of not ideal for a Diablo kind of game, because I can't find anybody that will kind of play on my schedule, which is like 2 hours between 8 and 10. Mm. But yeah, I don't know. It was reasonably fun. I think I'm about done with it, probably because I beat it to death. So yeah, now I'm gonna wait for the new Skyrim expansion, and then I'll play that for like 100 hours.
Yeah, well, they're probably gonna put out, I would imagine, at least 2 expansions for Diablo, like in the next couple of years, I would imagine.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like more classes probably isn't gonna do it for me, because I mean, I've kind of. It was fun, but I don't know if it's like get everybody to level 60, which based on my previous experience would take like over 150 hours of gameplay. I mean, it's like 45 times whatever they have 6 classes or something, and that's just not that appealing at this point. And I don't know if it will be in 6 months. What do you say, Dave?
I said some people want that.
Yeah, and I know. But... It's not me.
Yeah,
it was
cool.
It was a good game while it lasted, and I think I'm probably done with it forever. I just needed that closure. This Diablo 3 was like closure for me. I never have to play another Diablo game ever again.
Well, I mean, if another one comes out while you're still alive...
yeah, maybe I'll forget I said that, but I hope I don't.
I don't know. I feel like I said that at the end of Diablo 2. The only time I played through Diablo 2 was with like 4 other people, and the dude with the firewall just killed everything.
Yep.
So, and I was like, I'm done with this game.
I can't believe you were even mad. I was playing a paladin when we were doing that, and the only skill I had was thorns. So nothing would attack me.
Yeah.
And I would just run around trying to
wait as soon as they attack me, suckers.
Yeah, you just wait. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to do 2% damage back.
I do find it funny that Diablo is enough of an online game. Like, I know, the online, you know, always on DRM or whatever, but it is big on co-op with your friends. And apparently it was big enough on co-op with your friends to, like, completely wreck Star Wars The Old Republic's user base. Whatever was left, like, got halved or something like that when that game came out.
It's an interesting sort of commentary on just how cannibalistic the multiplayer online RPG market is these days. Like, there's just sort of a subset of gamers who are going to be into that thing, and unless you capture like 70% of them, there's no way you're going to survive.
Well, I feel like Diablo will have people going back to it. Like, they're not going to suddenly lose all their players, but it's less important for something like that. Whereas now it just seems like there's a flavor of the month and everyone eventually just goes back to WoW and League of Legends. And that's basically it. Which kind of sucks for anyone who's deciding to dump hundreds of millions of dollars into MMO development.
Well, I feel bad for what everybody's talking about now, which is basically that people have been making these MMOs for a couple years under the assumption that, like, we're going to come out of the gate and charge people $15 for a subscription. Yeah. That doesn't happen anymore.
Plus, like, $60 for the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they're all free to play now. When that game Terra came out, the MMO that supposedly has, like, more Devil May Cry style fighting in it, I was like, oh, maybe I'll check that out. And then I looked it up and it was like, okay, give us $50. I said, what? Really? Well, no, I don't think so. But I don't know. It's just like the value proposition of games like that has changed.
Well, I know industry watchdogs are going to keep a real close eye on how the next WoW expansion does, because I think the assumption is that that's it for WoW. This next expansion is going to be it, and then whatever they do next, whatever the next World of Warcraft is, that's the only thing that can take over that space. So it's real interesting to watch all that stuff and see how that stuff evolves. Got to feel bad for the Kingdom of Amalur guys, but yeah. Anything else?
Rhode Island.
Yeah. Anything else, Joe?
Well, I to keep in the theme of LOL, I actually played a fair bit of Awesome Knots on the Xbox.
Oh yeah.
And that was actually a pretty fun game. It was a nice little arcade style Dota in a different format. Game. It was pretty fun. It's a little more limited, and I for some reason couldn't get a solid connection to save my life, but that didn't stop me from pouring a couple hours into it and having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I saw some video of that being played, and it did look like fun. Although the character animations struck me as being just a little wonky, but I don't know.
Well, I think it was a sort of not really indie, but a pretty. I mean, it is indie. They didn't have a big development studio behind it, and that shows in certain polish points. But otherwise, I don't know. It was very enjoyable.
Cool. All right. So, Dave, that brings us to you.
Yeah, I also played Diablo, but I played it a lot less. So I'm only in Act 2, so I can't really comment on it, even though, I don't know. I was kind of over Diablo before I started. We got the trial, me and my girlfriend, and we played it until we got to the end of the trial, and we said, well, you know, let's look up StarCraft 2 and see how much that costs right now, because that came out 2 years ago.
It's probably still
$45.
Yeah, I'm sure it's still full price.
We're like, let's just buy Diablo now. There's no sense waiting.
Isn't the original StarCraft still $20?
Yeah. But
yes, you can buy the battle chest. It's ridiculous.
otherwise, the lion's share of my time is still being eaten by Dragon's Dogma.
Oh, yeah, you reviewed that for us.
I really like, even though it's got a lot of problems. So I wrote the review, and I said that this is the perfect game for college students. Mm-hmm. And I play it, and it harkens back to that time where, like, I would take Final Fantasy X over a college break and play it for 100 hours.
Yeah.
And that would just be my whole break. And I'd be like, you know, there are parts of this game that aren't very good, but I don't even care because there's a video game out there that I can play for 100 hours. And it's got, like, stuff for me to do for that whole 100 hours.
So it's basically a whole semester's worth of free time.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Grown-ups often don't have that kind of time on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it Dragon's Dogma, like, sort of a weird thing to recommend. Because you feel like if you have a job, you want to maximize your game efficiency time. You want to be like, I want to have 100% fun playing every video game, or it's a waste. So if Dragon's Dogma is kicking around like the 80% fun level, that's kind of not enough. But I still really liked it. You know, it's kind of Skyrim. It's kind of Dark Souls. It's kind of a whole bunch of games, Shadow of the Colossus. You've got this more Devil May Cry style fighting system, which is probably a little generous. It's not like the stylish action. It's just you have more things to do than push the left mouse button or the right mouse button to swing your two-handed axe. And you can be like a sweet Legolas-style ranger and jump on the ogre's head and stab him with the sword. And you got to jump on dragons, stab him in the heart, and you get all sorts of equipment, and you run around this big fancy world that, you know, doesn't actually really have a lot in it, but it's got as much in it as your Skyrims do.
Yeah, it's really Western in design, isn't it?
It kind of is. It kind of is, but then it's also... it's got ogres.
Well, can you really like say Western style after something like, you know, Dark Souls comes out? Like, I think that dichotomy doesn't exist in the same way anymore. But
since basically Lord of the Rings, I guess, is what I would be thinking of. Because when I interviewed the producer, he would constantly go back to that and to, like, Dungeons & Dragons source books when he was about the inspirations.
Yeah, I got to see that. Your old
I have to ask, though. Now, in the demo, I only played the demo of Dragon's Dogma, but you can pick up and throw the little goblin things, right?
Yeah.
Now, how many enemies can you actually do that to? Is it just the goblins, or are there larger?
I mean, anything... man-sized.
Smaller than you, basically.
Some of the best things you can do is pick up your little sidekick guy to get him to shut the hell up. Because they don't talk if you carry him around like a sack of potatoes. Or there's this one part where there's an all-female and an all-male bandit encampment. So, I don't know about the men, but with the women, you need to have all women. So if you got a male pawn, the sidekicks are called pawns, you just pick them up and throw them off a cliff. Say, I'll resurrect you later, buddy. Or you can dress them in women's clothes. Which leads to just about my favorite thing about this game. You might recall when Mass Effect 3 came out and they had a couple gay characters, the internet freaked out about being accidentally gay. They said, I'm going to click on a dialogue wheel option and all of a sudden I'm going to be French kissing Kaiden, which did not happen. But in this game... So there's this whole romance thing that really has... There's no mooring in it for the story at all. It just happens. And it really happens without you knowing it's happening. So towards the end of the game, the game just plucks a character that it decides you have the most affection with. And you
get affection by... an actual supporting character?
No, like an NPC. And it can be anybody. It can be like the innkeeper.
Wow.
Just some random guard. Like there's just a lot of people that you can give gifts into the world. And they're just just declared as the romance interests. Wow. So because you really have no idea that you're romancing anyone at all, this character just shows up. And if you are not concentrating on romancing someone, you are statistically likely to have the weapons keeper, the weaponsmith, show up as your love interest.
So big blacksmith dude, basically.
Yeah. So Dragon's Dogma made a whole bunch of people on the internet accidentally gay. And I think really funny because like people are so pissed off. They're like, I showed up at the end and this guy was running around and now I'm making out with him.
Coconut rum and well.
And it's so satisfying just to read these threads of these people who are just aghast. Like my cartoon video game person is macking on this dude and I just wanted a flaming broadsword. Well, you got it, buddy.
Wow. Huh.
But it's really neat. I mean, there's a lot of cool parts. There are griffins in the game, and you can jump on them and stab your flaming daggers into its wings, and then they light on fire, and the griffin crashes to the ground, and you stab it in the face a whole bunch more times.
Now, are there any that many monsters that are like on the scale of Shadow of the Colossus bosses?
No.
Or is mostly
there's nothing
just
that's that big. You know, Shadow of the Colossus is that's like a regimented, really like scripted experience in the sense that like there are 13
the stage itself, basically.
Yeah. And that's all you fight. Where, I mean, in this, there's like, yeah, you see a lot of chimeras. Like, you see more than your fair share of cyclopses. I mean, there's probably like a dozen big things you can fight. Mm-hmm. And some are more rare than others. But there's a lot of really fun ways to fight them. And there's just a lot of different classes. Like, my favorite was you can be like a mystical warrior. I forget exactly what it's called. But they're... key skill is they just summon this ball of energy that you can then just wail on and it shoots projectiles everywhere on the screen. And once I unlocked that, I was like, why would I do anything else? I just spent the past 15 hours being an archer, shooting bows at people. And now I have a laser cannon that I just summon at will.
Oh, how did it do in America?
I think it did well. I don't remember the exact numbers. I gauge all these things by what's in the top 10 on Game Facts. So we should be getting the Tales of Graces sequel any day.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Well, I seriously doubt, because that's a new engine ground up. That's all new assets. Capcom's not going to make that, and then they'd probably lose money if they didn't make another one.
Yeah. Well, they're really good at sequelizing, and that is not necessarily something I have a problem with. I'm super psyched for Resident Evil 6. Wish I could just sit in the time pod, go forward 4 months.
Just go sit in the freezer, try to cryogenic yourself into the future.
So what did you think of what they showed at E3?
What did they? I mean, I guess they showed that like Leon has like a slow thing that's more like the 3DS game, and the dude who's Wesker's son. Which, come on, spoilers trailer.
Oh yeah.
He's running away from a monster, so that's like Uncharted.
And they're hiding behind stuff like Gears of War. But...
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care what they're doing. I just want to like get guns and shoot zombies and co-op and. I'm going to be at the door to the next area, and my partner isn't going to be there, so I'm going to keep hitting the B button to keep going, come on, come on, come on, until they get there. Actually, I mean, that's all I care about.
Maybe we discussed it last time, but did you play Operation Raccoon City?
No. That's one of those games where I'm like, when it's $12, I'll take the funds. I really wanted it to be cool. I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. They're like, you get shot, and then you bleed, and then the zombies know where you are. And Outbreak was such a weird and cool game that I really wanted it to be like Outbreak, where you're hanging out with four people and there's no voice chat and you have to figure out how to kill the zombie elephant. But apparently it wasn't that. Apparently it was just sort of like a crappy version of SOCOM with zombies.
Yeah.
Raccoon City came out at a really good time because that game sold surprisingly very well. Yeah, and I think that's because nothing else had come out for months.
But it's also, I think it was trading on the success of sort of the previous zombie horde games.
Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that it was going to be sort of the replacement Left 4 Dead because we've had a pretty long gap since a game like that came out, and this one promised that, you know,
they got burned because they put out Left 4 Dead 2, and everybody was like, too soon, and they're like, fine, now you get nothing. You're going to put out Portal 2, and that's it.
I don't even know if I ever want to play Raccoon City, given what I've heard and seen of it.
It's just,
I was psyched for it, though, but yeah.
It's the co-op axiom. Like, you get three other people in the room, and everything is just fun. And, like, the argument that can be made is that you and your three friends could go play an actual fun video game.
Yeah.
But sometimes you want to play something new.
So before we get to E3, I'll talk a little bit about what I remember playing. I did get Fez. Did any of you guys get that?
Oh, man. Fez was so good. I loved it.
I feel like I missed out on Fez because I got it like the week after it came out. So I wasn't part of the whole like ARG thing where everyone on the internet was solving this game at the same time. And I kind of feel like I was late to the party. And I'm not smart enough to figure Fez out on my own, so... I might just go use a FAQ and just go through it. Because I've been told, like, even if you can't figure out the puzzles, and it's a really difficult game, like, puzzle-wise, to actually do what that game wants you to do, which is pretty cryptic shit. I've been told it's fun just to go through it, even with a FAQ, just to see the game.
Yeah, I can totally see that. The way the game's built, there's, like, essentially 32 really hard puzzles.
Yeah, and that's after the 32 original puzzles.
Yes.
So
it's got its own alphabet. It's got its own numerical system.
Yeah.
My girlfriend and I, we live stream video games pretty frequently, and we live stream Fez. So we had the benefit of a chat channel sort of feeding us just enough tidbits to push us forward without telling us the actual answer. So it's sort of invaluable just to have a group of like 30, 40 people who are willing to say, stick around in this room and see what you can see. Because there's like certain key rooms that teach you how to just decode the alphabet or decipher the number system. And some of those guys, those were like real chat channel champions. Because I think at one point we spent 45 minutes deciphering how the numbers worked.
Yeah.
And I guess if people went insane, they probably just quit or like took a sledgehammer to their computer. because they couldn't take us being like, I think this is a three. So
isn't half the point of watching the chat channel rejoicing in how stupid other people are? That's what I go to it for.
That's been our experience with Skyward Sword thus far.
I mean,
right now, it's like, you're so dumb. Throw a bomb at the wall.
It's like, this is Zelda. How can you not know that that's what you're supposed to do?
Yeah,
been the same since 1989.
Yeah.
The highlight of my video game streaming so far has been making a full court throw in NBA Rap Jam for the Super Nintendo at about midnight last night. So I played Fez, and I also played Trials of Evolution, which I wasn't going to get, but then I saw the Giant Bomb guys playing this thing basically nonstop, and I was like, that looks like fun. And that game is not fun so much as it is horribly, horribly frustrating, but the sense of accomplishment you get for actually getting through some of those tracks is pretty great. I really like that game. I don't think I'm ever going to touch it again, but it is pretty great.
Yeah, from what I understand of Trials, you're basically just like, you play the game until it stops being fun for you.
Which is pretty fast. I think I got a couple. Yeah. I got a weekend out of it. And it's only like a $10 game. So, that, you know, I got a weekend.
Yeah, you know, I do that a lot with video games. Like, if I just, I'm like, well, you know, I paid X amount of dollars for this game, and I feel like I got my purchase worth in fun out of it, so I'm just going to stop.
Yeah.
Like, if I start getting bored of mechanics.
Yeah.
And it seems like it would be really easy to do that with Trials. Just
yeah,
be like, totally. All right, I hit the wall. Like, this is the limit of my ability to fudge my motorcycle over obstacles.
Yeah, right, yeah. And you're basically determining how bad you are at the game. Not really how good you are, just how bad you are at it. And then the last thing, speaking of foreign-made RPGs, I picked up The Witcher 2, because I was always really curious to play that, and they ported it to the 360, because my computer just isn't strong enough to run it. And that's a really good game. I haven't played as much of it as I want to, but I kind of prefer... It's been a long time since I've played a non-Elder Scrolls role-playing game that's not, like, I guess people consider Mass Effect an RPG, but it's barely a role-playing game, in my opinion. The first one is, but the last two really aren't. But I really appreciated the more focused, story-driven, much more linear style. Reminded me of playing, you know, old JRPGs, because I'm just so used to the Skyrim-style pick-a-direction, wander, and something stuff happens to you. But it's real deep, a lot of lore, story's pretty good, lots of boning in that game, it's very M-rated.
Did you find the succubus?
I'm not that far yet.
Don't be put off by her cloven hooves.
But
Geralt is not.
Yeah, that's a solid game, though. It's a good RPG.
I love The Witcher 2.
So that does it for me. So it's E3, and... Well, last year we apparently riled a lot of people up by talking about how underwhelmed we were by E3, but once again, the consensus is that E3 was pretty bland this year, I think. But I sort of expected that going in, because it's the end of a console cycle, and we're not going to see the new consoles until next year. So what were people... I don't know what people were expecting, but yeah. So did you guys watch the press conferences?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't watch them. I just read all the blog recaps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm at work most of the time when they're on, so...
Oh, right. You have a real job.
Well, I'm at work when they're on, but I could watch them. I just don't. I find it's just more efficient to sift through, like, the live bloggings that people do to find the things you actually want to look at, because, you know, when you watch the overall things, it's just a lot of awkward people being really awkward for, like, 90 minutes.
It's also, like, I don't need to sit through your, like, Steve Jobs, this is the next great thing speech. I just want to see your product. I have, for working at a giant corporation, I have very little stomach for all that PR claptrap.
But you miss Flo Rida.
I didn't know he was there.
I wouldn't say missed.
It's true that not watching the press conferences led me I had no idea where My Body Is Ready came from. I thought that was just something somebody thought up someday. Like, I was like, that's kind of funny. And then it turns out it's Reggie, man.
Yeah.
Reggie created that meme.
So yeah, I watched all the press conferences, and more to the point, I just sort of made a list of the games that I think look pretty interesting and notable. But they were all pretty embarrassing and bad as usual. I mean, what do you expect from these things? They're super corny. It is literally like the marketing department just in your face for 2 hours. So they're going to be embarrassing and corny. I feel like Ubisoft was particularly embarrassing and corny.
But yet everybody says like they're the only people that had anything of value to say.
That is probably true.
Or to show, I guess, not to say.
No,
I mean, Ubisoft is probably unique among the presentations that you watch, though, because they're not a publisher. They're actually, well, I guess they are, but they're actually kind of more looped into the development than like Sony, Nintendo, or Microsoft would be.
Well, there was also EA. I think EA had one.
Yeah.
I guess nobody really talked about what happened in that, so maybe it sucked.
I do not remember what happened in the EA press conference. I watched it.
It's kind of all blended together. You had the shooting game, then the driving game, then the other shooting game.
What was the Twitter joke?
Shoot and then drive?
The Twitter joke was shoot and then drive.
All of EA's big announcements, or at least the ones that are making a splash, it's a reported expansion for Star Wars The Old Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else is either a sports or MMA franchise or a sequel.
Mm-hmm. Well, it strikes me as really weird. Maybe this is further back than I remember, but I just remember last year being the first time that people who weren't like Nintendo or Sony had really, really publicized conferences, because I don't remember ever hearing about like EA having a conference that you would put in line with Sony. I mean, I guess they always did, probably. And Activision probably does their thing for Call of Duty. But I just never like saw them getting the same mind share where, like, from what I could see on the internet, all people wanted to do was talk about Ubisoft, and people were like, Nintendo, what the hell do they do? Nothing.
Well, they've kind of filled in the gaps between the other presentations, basically, because, I mean, Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo, I think Nintendo actually, they were last, I think.
Yeah, they were actually the next day in the morning.
Well, they had two presentations, and the second one's for the 3DS by itself. So I said, yes, here comes my 3DS XL. Mm-hmm. My giant hands can actually play 3DS without pain. And then they announced literally nothing at that press conference.
You get Paper Mario.
I know. I think that was the day before. Yeah, though.
They offhandedly mentioned all of that stuff the day before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And the weirdest thing is that it came out on the internet, I think, while this press conference is going on, that they are bringing Fire Emblem to America. Yeah. Like, you guys didn't think to mention that? Probably the only thing worth mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from your incredibly boring looking new console that I do not want to purchase.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it for... They have two different ways to play Pac-Man Versus, and that's why I'm going to buy it, because they have the one they showed last year, Find Me, which looked like pretty much just Pac-Man Versus, and then they have the Luigi's Mansion themed Pac-Man Versus.
That's in Nintendo Land, right? Or is that...
Yeah, and that sort of asymmetrical multiplayer appeals to me. And so that, and they have that, like, Legend of Zelda game where one person has the bow and they use the tablet. But it kills me that tablet thing, you can only use one. And I understand, like, the hardware restrictions behind it, but if they could at least just get two of them.
Well, no, they said during the press conference that it supports two.
Oh, they did?
That was an announcement. Yeah,
you get two.
Well, that's good, because then maybe they can make like cool hidden information games. Like,
how much do you suppose that second one's going to cost you?
Let's see. More than $100, probably. It's going to be expensive.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't like that controller, man. Like,
is terrible.
It looks like the Wii U, like draw, like the draw tablet.
Draw something.
Yeah. Draw.
When I look at that thing, I think about commercials for advanced, sonogram technology.
Yeah.
It looks more like what a doctor would be using to review patient information than something I would play a game on.
When I look at that thing, I think that's going to be in the bathroom with me, so I don't have to pause my game. I'm going to be playing Zelda. I'm going to be like, swipe, goes right to the tablet, then I go right to the toilet. It's just like the next evolution of the DS.
Mm-hmm. Too bad they
you need to just Photoshop a picture now of you having dropped your tablet in the toilet. It's going to be like that wave of Wiimotes thrown into expensive things.
Oh, yeah.
So, but what is the picture of the dude who gave his girlfriend the black eye? with that controller and a toilet, you don't want to know. Better. Don't think about it.
Oh, you did it to me. I think I'm thinking of the same thing.
In your brain. Yeah, there's that picture of that guy who like swung the Wiimote too hard and hit his girlfriend in the eye, and she had this giant black eye, and it was really scary and sad. And it's like, you were supposed to bring families together, not tear them apart.
Well, according to the press, press conference, there was a video afterwards. It was like a post-show video with the world's cheesiest actor family excitedly playing Wii U games, and it was the most embarrassing thing.
Oh, yeah. It was like the Duracell family from those little commercials playing Wii. It was, yep.
Yeah.
No, Grandma, go here. Grandma, no. What are you doing?
What they don't show you is the family gets bored after 10 minutes and the little kid turns on the zombie game, and that's it.
Everybody just files
and then
out
the parents
the
see the little kid playing the zombie game and say, "Who sold you this?"
Yeah.
I know one thing that the Nintendo conference did, which is break my heart with Castlevania.
Oh.
Why stop letting white people make your games, Konami?
It's got Alucard. Come on. It's got Simon Belmont, Trevor, and
no, dude, that trailer was so butt.
It's the Castlevania equivalent of putting Pyramid Head in your Silent Hill game. It's like, yeah, we got Alucard because everybody loves Alucard, and I love Alucard. It's like, no.
I mean, look, Castlevania
was great.
Like, Symphony of the Night is my favorite game of all time, and I actually really liked Lords of Shadow. I thought it was a really solid game. I don't have a 3DS, so I'm not going to play this one, but it's a good game. Like, it's not bad.
Oh, I hated it. It just felt like God of War, where the guys had even more infinite health than God of War, where, like, you get to those, like, burly werewolf monsters, the, like, bipedal ones that are just sort of hanging out, and it just seems like you hit them and you hit them and you hit them with your stupid cross whip, and they never stagger, so you just hit them as hard as you can, and they just knock you over, and you get back up, and you just keep hitting them, and you just, when is this guy gonna die? I don't know. He's just a regular dude. There's 12 of them in this level. So,
well, you can blame it all on Castlevania Judgment, you know?
Yeah.
It's Castlevania Judgment's fault.
You can, yeah. I mean, well, that was the last game that you had from a Japanese developer, right? On the Castlevania series?
Harmony of Dissonance, I think, was the last one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that game was bad, but I still played it.
I played the hell out of that. Yeah, it's a bad game, but too.
I had to buy a new Xbox hard drive to get Harmony of Dissonance to work.
Oh, yeah.
Did you curse your lot after you played the game? You were like, a pox on you.
Well, no, because like people in our forum were talking it up. Like, you and Karaoke Ninja were like, oh, it's pretty fun. Like, this character sucks, and this character is good. And I'm like, wow, they're actually discussing character depth and difference. This must have been
all
enjoyable.
All the characters suck except Shanoa.
Yeah, that's what I learned.
The best thing about that game, the greatest thing about it, was when they released the original Castlevania map.
Yeah.
In full scale. Yeah. It's great. Yeah.
We bought all that DLC. And now. Sucker play. But we did.
Yeah.
And we tried to play that Castlevania map, and then they had that one for that other retro game I didn't even recognize, but we tried to play it. Looking at that stuff in high resolution was like one of the only times I felt like I was going to throw up playing a game. Like, it was just so hard to look at.
Yeah.
Like, everybody playing was like,
Divine Cybermancy.
They were like, oh, yeah. Well, it was just like everybody playing the game was like, we can't play these stages anymore. Like, it gives me such a headache. But I really liked that game. And if you want to talk about something where the guys had infinite health, those bosses just like never died.
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
There were no. So you were just like, you were just surprised and happy when one died. You were like, oh, I guess it's over. I feel so relieved.
Yeah, we would just keep speed because it was more fun to just speed run the first level over and over and over again and see how good you could get at that one. And then once you get to that second stage, it's like, oh, fuck this Puppet Master guy.
We would do that on the third one with the like really tall boss because he dropped one of Shinoa's glyphs, which were really rare. So we just do this like 5-minute speed run of that super tall boss. And that was basically our Harmony of Dissonance experience. And, you know, we liked it inexplicably. I don't know why.
All right. Well, E3. We should talk about E3. Todd, what were the standout moments for you?
Well, honestly, one of the games I was most interested in, it didn't get mentioned in the Wii conference at all, but everybody started talking it up after the fact. I think it's called Project 001. It's by Platinum Games and the director of Devil May Cry, Hideki Kamiya. It's sort of like Pikmin, but I almost want to say it's Pikmin meets Panty and Stocking, because you've got this weird stylized city, and you're controlling these heroes, and you're gathering all these citizens, and you're using them to build like weapons and vehicles and stuff to fight these giant monsters. And actually, it looks like a really interesting use of the well, I guess the Wii's really emphasizing the whole thing. We have all these little characters running around, whether they're Mii's or Nintendo Land or Pikmin or stuff like that. And that actually looked interesting, unlike a lot of the other games that the Nintendo conference showed off.
I really enjoyed the 20 minutes of reading the instruction manual for Luigi Ghost Mansion portion of the conference.
Well, yeah.
Why couldn't they just say it's Pac-Man versus? It's Pac-Man versus. Just play it.
I think they must have just had like a ton of people on message forums talk about, you know, because now little kids who had a GameCube are now like in their late teens, early 20s. So they're nostalgic for Luigi's Mansion and they want Luigi's Mansion, which is.
Gosh, maybe that I'm so old that that sounds absurd to me.
Yeah, because it wasn't a good game. I remember just everybody when the GameCube came out, we played it for 10 minutes and said back to Monkey Ball. Like, that is that was the GameCube launch experience.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound crazy that people could be that young and have that essentially be their first Mario game.
Yeah.
But people who were 4 years old when the PlayStation came out are now legally able to drink. Wow. It's somewhat worrisome.
They're going to start demanding a Blasto resurrection, yeah.
Yeah, it's a Crash Bandicoot's coming back in a big way.
Oh, my gosh. As long as Toshinden stays buried now, I'm okay.
Yeah.
No, don't say its name.
We'll always have the anime.
That's right.
We will.
Another thing that shouldn't be resurrected.
Anyway, Todd.
Well, they tried not too long ago.
Todd, go on.
Well, I don't want to talk about Beyond too much because I think that was one you really liked, Zach.
But yeah, that's probably number one on my list.
And I guess like one game that it was only shown on video, but it kind of piqued my interest, was that Gore Verbinski thing called Matter.
Oh, yeah.
It looks almost like a 3DO tech demo or something like that. We've got these shapes moving around. But it's kind of – it made me just wonder what it was like, which is a lot more than some of the other trailers did for me.
Cool. Anything particularly, you sort of rolled your eyes at?
Well, I don't know. It just kind of all blurred together in some places.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, well, we'll probably talk about the stuff we're sorry we didn't see, but I was really surprised that somebody didn't mention The Last Guardian at all during their press conference.
I thought they made that clear that it was not going to come up like a few months ago.
Yeah, but not even on video, though. That was just, very strange.
They're really, they're totally blue-balling everybody on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. People are now saying that that video game is just not coming out, which seems crazy to me. But maybe
it's had a really troubled production.
If it didn't, yeah. I mean, the dude doesn't even work for Sony anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, he's in there as a contractor, but
exactly,
he's quit.
So if he has a bad day at the office, he can just walk out, and there goes Last Guardian.
Yeah, I'm taking the source code.
Doesn't have to take the source code. I bet he's gonna somehow take its soul. That's why he has to be there. The soul of that game is in a jar that he ties around his neck.
Yeah, it's phylactery.
One game that actually didn't look too interesting in the previews, but when I read up on it, it actually sounded better. Is the new Gears of War?
Yeah.
Because the way they've set that up is the plot, of course, is like a trial, and every stage you see is like someone's testimony.
Right.
And depending upon how hard the game is, what difficulty setting you play it as, the more you actually see of the story. Like you said, at the easiest setting, you'll see this sort of covered up, censored, government obfuscated edition of what happened. But if you play it in a higher difficulty setting and you do better, you'll see like more of the truth, I guess. And I've never been a huge Gears of War fan, but that actually sounds like a really interesting premise.
That's cool. I like that. I mean, I bought Gears of War 3 for $10. I played it for 5 minutes and said, Gears of War. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the usual. I mean, they don't have a dude mercy killing his wife, so it's kind of not the highs that the Gears of War franchise is known for.
And, of course, I thought Watch Dogs looked interesting, even if it's basically kind of a milder version of Grand Theft Auto, where instead of committing crimes, you're just an asshole to people.
I'm
trying my best not to get kind of sucked into what they're doing, because that is going to get just totally. I don't know. I always have such high hopes for these Ubisoft projects that you see just these sort of the very early stages of, and they produce a really sleek trailer and they say it's going to do all these wonderful things, and then the actual game comes out and it's not nearly as cool. And I mean, I am excited about the concept of Watch Dogs, but then I'm just like, oh my gosh, man. They're just going to like throw, like, I fear that like Blackbeard's ghost is going to make an appearance or something totally bizarre at some point. I'm just like, what happened? Why?
I was totally baffled by the reaction to Watch Dogs. Because what I saw was a game that looked like it was running on a high-end PC, so it's for next-gen consoles, where there's a long introduction, and a guy had a cell phone that told him whether or not people had AIDS, and then he messed with a traffic light, and then it became a cover shooter. So why is everybody flipping out about this and thinks it
because
looks so amazing?
Because you know if people have AIDS based on a cell phone readout, Zach. I don't know why that kind of medical technology doesn't excite you.
You can check people's credit ratings, you know?
I just, why was everyone flipping out? It wasn't that.
And then you club honestly, the guard in the face. You hit him in the face with your baton.
That's exactly, I mean, Zach's reaction is a lot more sort of concrete than mine, but it's just like they give you this little teaser of a thing that will just never be. It's like, exactly. I feel like that's just, I don't know, visions of Alan Wake come to mind. You're expecting this whole other experience, and it doesn't deliver any of that because you realize the only thing you based your expectations on were this press demo that had no details. And you're just like, oh, I'm going to read into it all these wonderful things that I want to happen. So I think it's sort of puffed up with people's expectations that are based on nothing.
Right, and you're sitting there looking at Grand Theft Auto where you can play where you can control the traffic lights, basically.
Yeah, you're like, this is like magic. How does he know that he's going to be on this street corner so I can ambush his car by hacking the traffic lights at just the right time?
There was a guy I was being snarky about it on Twitter, and someone was like, "You have to admit, we've never seen anything like this before." And I was like, "Excuse the fuck out of me. We've seen a dude hide behind waist high cover and shoot. Like, this is every game now."
Well, and we didn't even see anything. How long was that demo?
Like 3 minutes, three or four minutes.
And, I will say the part.
Yeah, I wanted to ask. So the thing at the end,
we are one
where they showed the other dude on the rooftop. Like, did they explain that anywhere else at all? Because it looked to me what was happening was that there is some sort of like asymmetrical objectives going on in this, because it's a 4-player co-op game, right? So, like, there's this one guy who's sort of playing out the main story, and then there's this other guy like XX Blaze 420 every day. Like, he had this really conspicuous Xbox Live username. On a rooftop, and he gets a phone call that's like, protect the main character. And he's like, okay, parkour. And then he like slides over a vent, and then the trailer ends. So I was wondering if they provided like anything about that.
They're being really vague about it. They originally did. I don't think they even said what platform it was for at the showing. So people just sort of.
Yeah, all the next gen stuff at the show was running on super high end PCs.
Right.
And because they haven't made any announcements about new hardware, and we won't get that till next year anyway. So. Yeah. Yeah.
And I know we laughed at it, but I gotta say the most impressive part of the whole Watch Dogs thing was just the seeing what's on other people are doing and manipulating their social lives and using that somehow, because they only really briefly touched on it there. But if it's something where you can basically set a guy's phone up so his girlfriend thinks he's cheating on him just to so he can sneak into a building, that almost sounds like something interesting.
It sounds like something interesting, but you just talked about something that might be part of the game.
Exactly.
Not something that was part of it or
itself right now. Yeah.
I want the game to allow me to order someone 200 pizzas.
then you get to watch them all show up.
Yes. I want next-gen pizza prank.
You just wait outside his house. Hey, man, how am I going to pay for all these pizzas? Not my problem.
The more we talk about it, the more I just think that, like, you know what? I just wish they would make an open world multiplayer Deus Ex game.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I don't care anything about Watch Dogs. Just take all those ideas, cancel the project, and feed them into a Deus Ex game.
And basically, I think that's why a lot of people are looking forward to Watch Dogs, because the intro, at least, gave off that kind of Deus Ex Human Revolution kind of feel.
A little bit, yeah. The character animation.
Can we get back to the eye rolling thing? I just realized what made my eyes like almost roll out of my head again.
They talked about there being some iPad app,
that's
integrated in that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the smart glass thing, and we got some questions about that. So we'll.
Maybe I'll just save it until those questions.
Yeah, we got some questions about that. But Joel, what were your highlights?
I mean, as stupid as it was, I actually really enjoyed The Last of Us. All the stuff they showed from that game, even though it looked like it was just like sort of a cutscene where you're hitting buttons and not really a game. I thought that that looked super cool and interesting. What are other highlights that are going on? I don't know. I'm excited for another Splinter Cell. That's always a good thing.
Did you like what they showed?
I just watched a couple brief things. Yeah, I mean, basically, if you let me sneak around in shadows and choke guys out, I mean, I'm always trying to recreate the Tenchu experience. So that's what Splinter Cell has always meant to me.
I didn't watch the trailer for Splinter Cell. Did they seriously have a dude saying like, Menendez is trying to bring down all capitalist regimes worldwide?
It's a Tom Clancy game, so probably.
I saw a friend of mine tweet about that, and I was like, what?
Are you sure you were watching an E3 press conference, or was that somebody from the government? I mean, you might as well. Like, the rhetoric is so overblown anyway. Can it really even be outlandish enough at this point?
I can't believe they're getting rid of Michael Ironsides. I'm so pissed off about that.
That's true.
Not because I think Sam Fisher is just some, like, you can't violate Sam Fisher. He's an American hallmark. It's just that, like, Michael Ironside has a really unique voice, and I'm used to hearing that voice. So I can't hear him be like,
I think it's just because I'm supporting Michael Ironside. Daughter. That's the only thing I care about. Get Michael Ironside more money.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
He's got to get drunk.
He could be in everything, and I'd be pretty happy about that.
And then
they needed a dude to get motion capture, and they were like, "He's too old." It's like, what?
You work with computers? Are you joking?
They're like, we can't. How do you do it? All right, smart guy. Then you get motion capture from one dude, and then put the voice from another dude on that dude's motion capture. All right, do it if you think you're so smart. And then you open up Premiere. I just dragged the audio track over.
Mind blown.
This guy just quits his job.
Yeah, that
becomes an ice road trucker. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's Splinter Cell. Who cares what the subtitle is? I mean, Nobody cares about the story.
I can only hope it follows the path of Tom Clancy's novel series and Sam Fisher eventually becomes president and he saves the country from a I don't know what. What happened? I think Japan attacked America and blew up the Capitol building with a jetliner or something. But yeah,
and then he was on Air Force One, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a different Harrison Ford. But
yeah, well,
I'm psyched about Splinter Cell just because it's got more co-op, which the Splinter Cell co-op was awesome. And it's got they're bringing back the multiplayer, the Spies versus Mercs, which was awesome. So they finally.
I hope they keep all the stuff that was awesome about that multiplayer too. Like you can't talk because people will be able to hear it in the game.
Oh yeah, yeah. That there was range based voice chat. So yeah, you had to talk really quiet, or they could hear you. Or like all the different vision modes, like electromagnetic vision mode, and you have thermal mode.
Electromagnetic vision mode.
I mean that game coined the term aggro spy, and that's just like my favorite combination of words. And sometimes I just apply it to things where it has no relevance just because I like how it sounds.
All right. Anything else, Joel?
I'm just a total idiot, and I always get excited about Halo. I mean, I thought I was immune to it, and then I saw the Halo 4 trailer, and I was watching it, and even before it was over, I like looked up, and I was like Googling other stuff about Halo 4. So, you know, they got me.
Smart glass in it?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm excited about it or just resigned to the fact that I have to play it.
I'm excited for 1 month of super fun Halo 4 multiplayer. And then it will go back on the shelf and I'll trade it in for something else about a month after that. So
that's fine because that month is going to be so sweet.
It's going to be a fun month.
And they keep on ramping up the number of people that can be on a multiplayer map at the same time. And I love those giant giant multiplayer Slayer matches.
Well, I remember when in Halo 3 when they had the elephant or whatever that like the like big sand
where you could actually
drive around. And it was just unthinkable to me that something like that could be in a video game.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
You would just drive this, like, giant truck around, and that was kind of your job.
And it becomes, like, the party van, and everyone gets on. Yeah, that was fun. Now, like, the thing about Halo, like, it's kind of the only franchise left, or at least the only one that I play, that's still doing that kind of deathmatch, where they haven't added in all this other fucking mechanics that I don't want to waste my time with. Like, my favorite multiplayer game ever was Quake 3 Arena. So I want, you know, simple. I want a rocket launcher and a jetpack, and I want a bunch of guys to shoot. And that's
it. Well, they're
it.
Changing a lot of it. They're making Reach kind of had layouts, and now this one has even closer to what you think of as a Call of Duty layout. Yeah. But I don't think they have the same leveling up thing. That, and in that respect, yeah, they're kind of like practically the only big name thing that doesn't have that crazy leveling up system.
Well, we'll find out how what their microtransaction system is like, and then.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't remember if Reach had one or if it just seemed like it should because of the nonsense like costumes you could buy in that game that cost billions of credits.
Well, so I don't know if now, there was a there way. There was to spend no micro, money on. But they're going there. I think that. They're experimenting probably, or they haven't really figured out how to loop it in with live. But I'm sure that that is a huge goal to just, you know, really kind of sink their teeth into how to monetize these tiny bits of code that don't cost a whole lot one at a time. But, you know, they build up.
I'm willing to bet that a lot of these games are just going to start copying Mass Effect because apparently that did extremely well in terms of selling a little $2 gambling box. During the multiplayer, we're going to start seeing a lot more of that.
Are you serious?
People actually bought that? I cannot believe that people do that.
Yeah, it did really well.
It's the Skinner box in action. Because like it's random chance thing that just keep pushing the button. And I really like the Mass Effect multiplayer. Like I played it a lot when it came out. But I just can't imagine the sort of person who can rationalize spending money on something like that. Because I feel like when you rationalize that, what you're saying is, I hate playing this game. But for some reason, I want to keep doing it. So I'm going to pay
money to
make it
more fun. We're old school. We grind. We know what that means, and we do it.
But like, I really like the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. Like, while I actually really hate the unlock system, and I think it's really shitty, and it's there so you keep playing it for longer, I never was like, man, I just want to buy some stuff because I can't stand playing this game without good guns.
That's true. You know, Mass Effect did it right because the item unlocks were more of a reward than a necessity. So, like, you would be playing this fun game and you'd be getting this great experience, and then, oh, on top of that, I can make my fun even more fun by shooting through walls or lowering the cooldown on awesome
firing
abilities.
Firing spikes at things, or, as with the new DLC, one big health bar. It's my favorite thing. Vorcha, one big health bar. Because they changed it in Mass Effect. In Mass Effect 3, they made it so you've got those like five little health bar segments that recharge individually, but not the Vorcha. They heal all the way to full, so you stand in the open at all times. And he's no longer a cover-based shooter, which it never was for me because I play Vanguard.
Okay. Any particular lowlights? Joel, you mentioned something that made you roll your eyes.
Oh my gosh, dude. That Devil May Cry trailer. Okay. I almost, like, my eyes almost rolled out of my head, and then I'm pretty sure my body fell out of a chair. And then the world started to spin, like, on the wrong axis. It was just, like, you know, demons. You're all, like, corporate shills. And we're going to take you out because we've got Dante the Demon Killer. And I'm like, if that's humanity's last hope, I'm just going to tie a heavy thing around my neck and fall into a river.
Just gonna peace out now. I'm good.
I would rather be dead than let that D-bag save my life.
Well, it's just it's frustrating because it's like, so you guys don't really understand why Dante was like cool and kind of funny in Devil May Cry, do you? Because he was sort of like this hapless nerd who like did things.
Well, Devil May Cry was a play on Devil May Care. He's supposed to be sort of aloof and funny, and this guy is all angsty and teenager.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't have a big problem with like a lot of people accuse it of like being too emo or whatever. And, you know, that's whatever. My concern is that, like, now he's like, fuck the fucking demons, you fucking demon fucks. Is that really what Devil May Cry was about?
It sounds like Bulletstorm.
Yeah. And just, I hate the video games those people make.
This is all reminding me very hard of Prince of Persia Warrior Within.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's different from that because he's got this attitude. It's not just all dark and angsty and, you know,
metal thong.
Yeah, it's like, I hate you, Mom. You bought me the wrong color Jaguar. Like, that's what the vibe I get from this new Dante. I don't know. Yeah, it was almost unwatchable. I couldn't even believe it was happening.
Well, it really wouldn't bother me if it was not made by the Ninja Theory people. I'd be like, all right, well, Dante is not this character that we cannot... I mean, I said about Sam Fisher, but he's on sort of on the same level. Like, you know, he's kind of funny, but he's not that great. So if they want to make him like a angsty goth dude, fine. But it's
I don't care about the violation of the ideal of Dante that I have in my mind. I just care that he's a super annoying a-hole, and I'm not going to be able to play that game because I can't stand him.
So, Dave, that leaves you.
Guess I got to go for it.
Anything in particular?
Everybody took all my answers. So.
All right. Well, that's okay.
There's Metal Gear Solid Rising, which is being made by Capcom, and you cut a helicopter in half. That sounds pretty fun. Or not Capcom, sorry, Platinum. I don't know why Capcom.
Capcom, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty sweet, mostly because you cut a helicopter in half. And when you're not doing that, you cut watermelon in half. So, cool. The thing that drove me crazy at that Sony press conference was when they were talking about how they're working on getting backwards compatibility to the Vita. It's like, how is that even a problem, man? Like, you didn't think about this from the start, that, like, how are people going to play PS1 games? And then the way they spoke about it seemed to indicate that it's something they're going to have to do on a per-game basis. Like, they're going to have to work out emulation for, like, Final Fantasy VII and Tomb Raider. And, like, man, what if I want to play Parasite Eve 2 for, like, the 50th time? I already had to wait 4 years for that to come down the pipe when the PS3 came out.
You'll be so grateful when it happens. What are you complaining about?
I know, but until that point, I will be
very
upset.
Be grateful because there's nothing else happening on the Vita if that conference.
I know. Why don't they just put some video games on that? They're putting Silent Hill Book of Memories on that. That sounds like a real crap piece of crap.
Well, you get
I read this interview with them where those guys could not have sounded more like Silent Hill fans. They were like, oh, man, I love Heather. Heather's my favorite character. And I'm like, Heather's my favorite character, too. And then they're like, we're going to make a dungeon crawler, and you grind for gold, and then you buy equipment, and Pyramid Head is like a recurring monster. He's like a slow monster that's really strong. And I'm like, what video game are they letting you make? This is part of my Konami stop giving your video games to white people thesis. It's just so frustrating to me. Like, man, Silent Hill used to be so good, and it has not been in basically forever.
Yeah, like 10 years what now?
Pretty much.
Okay.
I mean, I'm trying to think about things I really like that people talked about besides, like, I mean, Watch Dogs. There was XCOM Enemy Unknown got, like, a mention at some point. And I was like, wow, I really want to play that that XCOM game. That sounds a lot like the old XCOMs. That's probably pretty fun. I'm going to, like, research laser weaponry and then shoot sectoids with it and try and recover their Illyrium 115. But otherwise, I mean, I think my choices are kind of either boring or too mainstream, which is... Zone the Enders HD is still coming out, and I'm excited about that, even though I have no reason to be, because it's just a remake. I watched that trailer they put out, and it was just a bunch of anime scenes. There was no gameplay in the whole thing. And I was I don't know.
It's like the original game was, which was basically cutscenes and maybe about 5 minutes of gameplay or something.
Yeah, but all those 5 minutes was just boss battle to boss battle. Which is why I really liked, Zone of the Enders 2. I didn't really like the first one.
Yeah,
but
everybody likes
Zone of the Enders 2 was just a string together of boss battles with dialogue between them. Yeah, and
have you been following the new one or whatever they've shown of it? Just the models?
I heard about it, but there's nothing really to know right now, right?
They've just shown those models, I guess, that look kind of weird, to be honest.
Yeah, they look kind of, I don't know, how would you explain them? Like organic, sinewy. Yeah. And then other than that, it's like Resident Evil 6 game is driving me crazy. I want to play it so bad. That, and I guess they announced that Code of Princess is coming out in America. That's cool.
The Pretty Rose thing. That's kind
of. I hope that's good. I love Guardian Heroes.
It's not as good.
Yeah, well, I mean, few things are.
It's got 4-player battles with like all these crazy characters, though, so it's not that.
Yeah, but you got to know 4 people that own a 3DS.
Oh, well, yeah.
I live in New York City and I ride the subway every day. And I think I've gotten about 30 street passes in a year and a half. So I don't know. I mean, that's anecdotal, but that's sort of my experience with how many people own 3DSs. I guess I'm excited about Dead Space 3.
Really?
Because they said it's going to have co-op. Yeah, I don't know.
Fuck
they try so hard to be survival horror but I got to give him props for that.
They gave up on survival horror in the second one.
Well, but yeah, but it's, I don't know. It's like they had that alternate difficulty mode. Sure. They were like, this is the survival horror mode. And I liked a lot of parts of the second one. They had a lot of, I don't know. Dead Space has always had these moments. Like in the second one, you sort of get rocketed out into space and you're floating along and there's this like spaceship with some exploded gas tanks that you have to sort of figure out while you're floating in zero gravity that you have to shoot them to get shot back into the space station. And it was really cool because it in essence is a quick time event, but you're not playing it like a quick time event. So like they've restricted your motion so you can really only do one thing. And you're doing that thing by pushing the square button, so whatever. But because they don't put a big square button on the screen, it makes it seem like you're not playing a QuickTime event, which I thought was neat. And, you know, they do neat stuff with, like, his girlfriend in the second one because, like, after the reveal of the first game where it's like, okay, you're playing the whole first game and you're like, I know your girlfriend's dead, just please tell me that your girlfriend's dead because this is not a twist. You know that in the second one, so they can do some cool stuff where she acts as this, like, Jiminy Cricket over his shoulder just talking to him the whole time and acting as his conscience. And then the third one just has co-op. So that's what I want out of every video game ever made. You know what? Maybe the co-op partner in that is going to end up being a ghost. He probably will be. Because everybody in Dead Space ends up being a ghost at the end. But it would be neat if they could figure out a way. I mean, I guess you can't do it with two established characters because you already know that Isaac, the main character, is the crazy one and he's the one having the visions. But say if you had a co-op game with two characters and you didn't know which one was crazy, you could have a pretty fun game experience, like having one character have these hallucinations and one character doesn't. And maybe they'll do something like that. I don't know. It's pie in the sky, but... Dead Space, which is a game I like well enough to play, adding co-op to it. Like, I don't care that everybody's going crazy. That like they're like, oh, that second character is such a dude, bro. He's like a soldier. It's like, yeah, you know, that's kind of every video game. And if I cared about that stuff to the point where I couldn't play it, then I wouldn't play Gears of War. So obviously, like, it's not affecting me that much. So I'm just going to keep trying.
Okay, cool. All right. So, I had a few highlights. Obviously, Todd mentioned this, but the one that made me pull out my wallet and say, here you go, was the new Quantic Dream game, Beyond. I am one of two dudes, maybe three dudes, who did not think that Heavy Rain was just butt. I actually really, really enjoyed Heavy Rain, and mostly just because I'd never played anything like it before. And this game, frankly, like, it looks great. I'm really impressed with what they've managed to get in terms of performance capture. And they're doing their photoreal dudes again. And, you know, I like Ellen Page, so it looks good. I will be there day one to see what that is. I would imagine I will be pressing X and O to lift a cup and turn a wheel or something.
You know, it's weird. I feel like, I don't know if everybody has this experience, the people that dislike David Cage's games, but I feel like the way those games play, you play the game and you're like, man, this is crazy. And it's so much fun. And it's like, I'm having fun and this is great. And then when you're done playing, you're like, wait a minute, no, I hated that game. And like, so I can even remember, like, I remember playing Heavy Rain and I have sort of two disparate memories of it. One of which is like, we played it in two sittings and we really, really enjoyed the first sitting. And then the second sitting was just garbage. And we hated everything past that like halfway point in the plot. But then I have this other memory where, like, you know, 9/10 of the way through the game when you have to like solve the puzzle to figure out where your son is being held, it was like really intense. And we were like really trying hard to figure out the address where our son was. So I don't know. They're like, I can't say I hate that guy all the way, but I kind of hate him.
Because I actually remember his first game was Omicron, the Nomad Soul.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then, he kind of went from that to, what was it, Indigo Prophecy?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then to Heavy Rain. And Heavy Rain was easily probably the most coherent of the...
Heavy Rain is definitely better than Indigo Prophecy. The internet doesn't show up.
I'm kind of hoping Beyond will be better than Heavy Rain. Beyond is like, kind of... Yeah,
so. If he's on an upward trajectory...
He has been since Omicron or whatever. The David Bowie game, basically.
What I know I can look forward to is some sort of sex scene where two badly puppeteered bodies awkwardly mash together.
David Cage, you need to be, first off, the sex scene in Heavy Rain was so bad.
Oh, God.
It was so bad that I said no to it. I don't think I've ever said no to a sex scene in a video game. But in that one, it was just like, the girl has just finished patching up your electricity wounds? Like, you almost got shocked to death. And she's like, how you doing, Stud? What's going on with you? And I was like, no, I hit the circle button. I said, what are you doing? Like, this guy is looking for his son. The only thing he's ever talked about is, I got to save my son. And she's like, but you kind of want to get with this, don't you? And I always have, he's got that, like, weird sexism in his games where, you know, the girl can take a shower and she'll be topless and naked, but the dude takes a shower, he's got his underwear on the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, what's that about?
Yeah, but, you know, the day will come when there's actual male nudity in a video game and the internet will light itself on fire and jump off a cliff.
Well, GTA 4, I remember, isn't that happening?
Yeah, GTA. Yeah, in one of the GTA DLCs, they had a big old dong waving around for, like, an entire cutscene.
Yeah, but that was played for laughs, wasn't it?
Yeah, so you're looking for just regular stuff.
Straight up, just normal male nudity in a video game that's taking itself 100% seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, if they react that way to just, like, implied gay relationships in other games, that a serious penis is going to throw
them. They should just
off.
Go straight up Eastern Promises with it.
Yeah.
Naked fight scene in the shower.
Well, it'll be a Last of Us thing where, you know, it's a realistic horrible fight scene.
Oh, God, that sounds awful. Oh, and God. Fake Ellen Page just watches.
Well, now, people were saying that the girl in Last of Us out Ellen Page, the actual Ellen Page.
Well, apparently she didn't say anything at all. The real Ellen Page was just like, I'm Ellen Page.
No, but the face model was perfect. Like, it was great looking, especially the eyes. Like, but whatever they did with the eyes looked great. Like,
well,
I was
yeah,
really
I mean, it's really striking. They have those, like, interludes in the loading screens of Heavy Rain where the faces are just looking around. And it's one of those moments where you're like, how could video games ever look this good?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the other thing that really struck me about it was, hey, the acting is good. Which is it's important because it wasn't that great in Heavy Rain.
It was awful. Nam and Jaden. Like, that's all I can remember from that game. It's that guy walking around. And people, the thing that drove me crazy was how they use the European term for abandoned lot, which is wasteland.
Yeah.
Like, I spent the whole game going around like, what the hell are they talking about? What is a wasteland? I'd never heard that word before. So just like, and the guy's like supposed to be from Boston. Like, I don't think so. This game's supposed to be set in Philadelphia.
Yeah. It's like clearly like French expats, like they pulled into the studio to do those voices.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Beyond looks cool. I will be there day one to play that. And I want to play South Park.
That actually looks cool.
I was frankly like, I was so relieved to see Trey Parker and Matt Stone come out because I wanted to see human beings who spoke as though they were human beings because the Microsoft press bots are just kind of unbearable. And they came out and had a little fun with it. And the game looks, I mean, that was gameplay. It looks like a crappy episode of South Park. So yeah, I'm there. And you know, they said they were only going to do it if they could make an RPG, and I'm cool with that. I'll check it out.
It was actually kind of neat to, I mean, I wonder what happened behind the scenes, because they come out and the first thing they say is, hey, how about that smart glass? That's pretty shitty, huh? And dumb and a waste of time.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're fine. Like, nobody's going to be like, never invite those South Park guys and their millions of dollars back.
Yeah. So, yeah, that looks good. And, Last of Us, everybody seems to be losing their mind about it. And what I am seeing is, if that game is not just press up and X occasionally, I'll be really surprised. Because that is what Uncharted is. And it looks like it plays pretty much exactly like Uncharted.
Uncharted kind of lost me with the third one.
Yeah.
I was just like, the mystique has been pulled away. Like, I know all your tricks now. So even though you're doing things that are, like, ostensibly cooler than the last game with you're hanging on to the netting in an elevator or in an airplane as it's flying and you're hanging out the cargo bay door, I was just like, yeah, I'm just pushing up an X. That's what it's always been.
How much are you really looking forward to the rapid press, the O button thing every time there's a dude who's just about to get you? Like, because I guarantee that's probably going to be 75% of The Last of Us.
Well, I'm hoping maybe they've just like sort of, I'm not going to say learn their lesson because obviously those games sell a lot of money. But I'm hoping they sort of just like want to make something that's a little more interactive because I'm not going to say nothing's not a video game or anything is not a video game, but, you know, video games are interactive, so maybe make one that's a little more interactive, guys.
Yeah. And then lastly, the Star Wars 1313, which I'm only interested in because of the tech, like everyone else. Like, you don't, I mean, we've never seen a video game that looks like that or looks that good. It's too bad it's a Star Wars game because that means I don't give a shit.
I thought you meant the Star Wars tech. Lightsabers and blasters.
No, the graphics. I mean, that's doing shit that we've never, nobody's ever done. Like, it looked amazing. And it's running on, apparently that is running on a PC that is tech that you can't buy right now. Yeah. So this is real, real like, oh, this is actually what next-gen video games are going to look like. And so that became kind of a highlight because that's kind of what I wanted to see. Even though I knew there weren't going to be any console reveals, I occasionally look at games that are made now and wonder, how can video games look any better than this? And now it's like, oh, okay, I guess that's how.
I've been thinking that since the Super Nintendo. apparently, I'm just very easily impressed.
Well, me too. But, yeah, I wish it wasn't a Star Wars game, because I don't care about Star Wars. But, it's neat. But, yeah, that about does it for me. I cannot tell you how underwhelmed I was by Nintendo. I sold my Wii within about 6 months of buying it, because there was just fucking nothing to play on it. And I could still get $350 for it at the time. And the Wii U did absolutely nothing to sway me. I want to play that Rayman game, but I will play it on something that doesn't require me to use that stupid controller. Nothing about that system is appealing. And the fact that it's current-gen technology. So the best we're going to get are like current-gen console ports that are locked at 60 FPS. Like, that's what we're going to get.
How heavy do you think that controller is? Like, do you think people are going to get tired playing games on that thing? Especially if you have to, like, point it. You have to point it at the screen in some games, like when you're aiming a bow or what have you.
I mean, it better be lighter than an iPad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true, but you don't hold your iPad up like in front of your face, like, I'm shooting the arrows now.
That's true. It comes, yeah, you set it down, but yeah, it needs to be lighter than an iPad. I don't know. I just was not impressed, and yeah, whatever. Wii U, man, not gonna buy it. Plus, not only that, the only good games for it are going to be fucking Mario and Zelda retreads, and I don't care. So, yeah. Okay, let's get to Twitter. Okay, ACNth715 asks, okay, this is a joke question. Do you ever think there will be a remake of Cool World for the PS3 and 360? He's asking this because the highlight of one of my recent shitty old games live stream was the NES version of Cool World, which is one of the worst games I think I've ever laid mine eyes on.
Maybe he's just a really big Cool World fan.
Maybe.
He's like, hey, come on, I was being serious.
And this question, Todd, maybe you should take this one. Ted of Werner asks, what are the chances of Capcom doing anything for Mega Man's 25th birthday?
Wow. You know, I'm kind of reminded of the Wreck-It Ralph controversy, I guess, where they basically had Dr. Wily in some early shots
of
the film, and he's not in it anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Capcom's really just sweeping Mega Man aside, I'm not even sure what they're going to do. They'll probably just reissue a bunch of Mega Man games as a collection or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll put the... they've probably done it already, but I think they have most of the Mega Man Game Boy games on the 3DS.
Mm.
So, yeah, I would not be surprised if they just completely ignored it. Of course, you know what I really want is having Mega Man Legends 3 back, and it's released on the 3DS, and you get it for free now because they're so sorry about canceling it. But that's not going to happen. Actually, if they brought back anything, I think they would probably bring back maybe even the Battle Network games or the Star Force things, something that's basically kid-oriented, and they can market like Pokemon. So, yeah, that might be your Mega Man 25th anniversary.
Yeah. Okay, Zero Intelligence asks, so will Smart Glass be any smarter than the glass we have right now? Ha ha ha, joke aside, do you think it's useful? I think that has a lot of potential.
Well, now I can talk about what I was thinking.
Okay.
So they were talking about having like some sort of iPad connectivity with Watch Dogs. I don't really know what it is. I mean, it might just be that garbage iPad app that they have for Mass Effect 3 that nobody should touch. But wouldn't it be cool if you're playing this single-player game and you've got somebody sort of – so in the case of Watch Dogs, it's like an open world. You've got somebody on your iPad next to you And they're sort of acting in the capacity that, like, the person watching a video game often does, where they're, like, looking stuff up on GameFAQs for you. But that's something that's, like, actually integrated into the game. So they can be, like, looking at the open world map and clicking on things to give you waypoints or anything like that. And I think that would be really cool because I've been into connectivity since the GameCube was making you have four Game Boy Advances to play Crystal Chronicles.
So it'd be kind of like Metal Gear Solid, except another person is playing Mei Ling or Otacon.
Yeah, yeah. They're on the Kodak.
Talks like, to you. Yeah.
Yeah, and they have to memorize all the Confucius problems and every movie that came out in the 1950s. Did you know about Godzilla? No, but if it's just like, oh, I can check my Halo waypoint, which is something I have literally never done. Like, if it's just that, then I don't think anybody, it probably will just be that. Then, yeah, probably people won't actually care about that.
I think it seems like that could be cool. If I had an Xbox app, like the Xbox 720 app or whatever for my iPad, where from anywhere I can set up downloads, use it as a cable box, you know, stuff like that. I could see how that would be useful.
I don't want to blow your mind, but you actually have an app that can set up downloads already.
Oh, okay.
It is your computer.
Well, depending on the functionality of the next Xbox, what more can it do? It seems like it could be a good idea. Plus, I like the idea that Microsoft is just saying, fuck it. There's millions of iPads and iPhones. We'll just go ahead and...
Well, it seems like a very adult stance for them to have. It's like, or maybe not adult, but just realistic. Like, you know what? These things exist in the wild. Let's not ignore that. Even though we kind of are, because we still have like our own phones and crap that very few people own.
Joel, any thoughts?
I don't know. I'm not really. I don't really like it, or I don't. I don't know. Like I don't really care. Honestly,
All right.
Because it's just like I don't see how it's going to really be useful for somebody like me. Like I'm just not in a spot where you know I'll be looking at my iPad while my TV is on, while I'm also playing an Xbox game.
Someone who has attention deficit disorder, I am always looking at a computer when I'm playing a video game.
Yeah.
So if they want to integrate that into the video game, that's fine.
I mean, it just
me.
Doesn't happen to me. I don't know. I'm not sort of a device junkie. I don't even own an iPad. I don't have a tablet PC. So I don't. Yeah, I'm just never probably. I'm never going to utilize that because even the way that they describe it will work in the game has zero appeal to me. Like, I would never use it to join a game. Like, if I have the controller out and it's in my hand and I'm already looking at my friends list trying to find a game, why do I care about this app?
Yeah, it's just sort of that swag. That mode. Like, the dude joining the multiplayer Halo game as if this was something you could not already do and easier just from your Xbox.
Yeah, or, I mean, like, it's just, it's like an art book digitized. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I thought when I bought an iPad that I was going to do the same thing a lot of people claim that they do, which is they buy one, it's neat for a little while, and then they don't use it. I mean, I use mine constantly. I use it as a second screen. I take it into the living room with me when I'm watching TV so I can still watch Twitter and check the internet and do all the shit that I would do on a laptop.
Except that's fun. I mean, I do that kind of stuff on a laptop.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm playing a video game,
sure.
If your video game is so boring that I'm constantly like looking at other screens to find something to do in your video game. Like why even like you the whole point of this thing is that it's supposed to occupy my attention in a way that, you know, other media forms are incapable of. I mean, isn't that the mythology we tell ourselves about video games now, that they're the sort of breaking the fourth wall of entertainment because we're involved in these stories and all this stuff, and now you're introducing basically a way to completely extract my attention from what's going on inside the game. I don't know. And that's probably an overly negative assessment of it, but I just don't see the point in that, at least in its current formulation. Who knows? Maybe they just put together a tech demo and didn't really have a lot of good ideas.
All right. Hazukari asks, thoughts on Wonder Books? I know you guys are probably stoked for Wonder Books.
It's a thing from Diamond Age, isn't it? It's like, it's the young girl's primer from Diamond Age. Like, that's what I was seeing on the screen.
Oh, yeah. She'll have all her little animal friends going off on adventures, and it's all... and it'll completely fall apart at the end. It'd be disappointing.
It was funny when it broke during the tech demo. That was funny. No, I don't care about Wonder Books.
It seems like you're excited about something that's like, what we're going to do is put this thing that you can see on your TV screen on this thing that is not your TV screen. Or like he just seems like the antithesis of fun to me. It's like, all right, just...
I would love it. I would. I would probably be really excited about it if I were a little kid.
Yeah, it's going to be cool for little kids, but, you know, little kids embraced... what was that? Because they use this exact same tech for... what was that card game that was like came out like pretty close to the PS3 launch where you had to buy the camera?
Eye of something. Eye of Judgment or something?
Eye of Judgment. Like that? That's it. So, wow. You know, kids loved that. So why not this, I guess?
This is why this is the kind of stuff parents are supposed to be protecting their children from.
Yeah.
Like, you can't drugs. Like this because this is stupid crap. You can't like crap because you're my child. I'm sorry. We have standards in this house.
You're going to play Street Fighter like everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. You can't even freaking FADC. You're already six.
Okay.
I have no son.
Something tells me you guys will have opinions on this. ABCB Tom, any thoughts on Lollipop Chainsaw?
I'm actually kind of interested to see how people analyze that. Because, you know, it's going in all the different directions where it's making fun of something but indulging in it. And honestly, the gameplay looks kind of fun because there's all kinds of different things you can do. Apparently, her chainsaw turns into different weapons. You can pop her boyfriend's decapitated head on zombie bodies once you've decapitated the zombies and do stuff with that. So, you know, it might be a fun game no matter what I think of the storyline and the atmosphere.
I will say that I am very interested in analyzing it. That sounds like it's... I don't know. I just like... I don't really like that guy's games. I mean, I like Killer 7, but the other stuff he's made, I've not been that into. But it's just so, like, I just got to know what's going on there, like how deep in the joke he is, how sincere he is about it. And, you know, it's weird. Like, this is something I didn't mention. I don't know. Just like the way girls exist in video games is still really strange. And it's something I didn't mention when we were talking about disappointments in the press conferences. But like, I'm kind of into that Tomb Raider game. But at the same time, it like really obviously plays into this like pernicious idea that like the way you get tough or cool girls in anything is by having them be raped. Oh. And like, I don't know. There's just like, well, you know, if there ain't sex in it, then why we got a girl? We could just put a dude in there instead.
Yeah, it sounds like something out of a bad, edgy comic from the 1990s or something like that. Yeah. So that kind of killed a lot of any interest I might have in the Tomb Raider thing. But Lollipop Chainsaw, I mean, it seems like the opposite, where it's basically this brightly colored, gooey, candy-hued parody of zombie things. Kind of like a Buffy for House of the Dead or whatever.
I'm glad you said Buffy, because I got... And it's not just because she's blonde, internet, so shut up. But yeah, I mean, seriously, it's got that vibe to it, like a Buffy, Clueless, Legally Blonde style... story, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I'm kind of with Dave. As soon as you said, "Hey, what do you guys think of Lollipop Chainsaw?" I was like, "Wasn't Killer 7 cool?"
Yeah, like that's the game I liked from him. And the thing is, it's like the dude, he hasn't made a lot of games that are fun to play for their duration. And it's like, go ahead.
Well, he doesn't really make games. He makes fun of games. Or he makes games that just make fun of games.
That's the thing. It's like, at this point, I mean, Killer 7 came out, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago now? It's been a while. Like, we know your joke, dude. Like, we have it figured out now. And then, like, but you just keep making the same game that's like, ha ha ha, like, isn't this funny? Isn't this weird? And at some point, like, the satire just, like, isn't enough. Like, you can't satirize the same thing forever and then just have it still like be relevant and funny, and like your coyness has an expiration date on it.
Yeah, I think, well, people seem to be forgiving him a little bit because he's making more and more, like, you can almost call them substantial games, because Killer 7, as much as I liked it, it was really limited in the way you interacted with it. And then No More Heroes came out and people said that, oh, well, this is more like an actual game. And then No More Heroes 2 had more gameplay and less mini games. And then Shadows of the Damned, which I think was also him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one was more like an action game, basically. Yeah.
I don't know, man. We'll see. I'm looking forward to, I don't know which one of you is reviewing it, but we will have a review on the site, so I'll read that before deciding whether or not I want to dip my toe into the world of Lollipop Chainsaw. All right, Nioculus Cage asks, which characters would you drag out of the dumpster to shore up the roster in PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale?
There's only one character, and that's Ricky Maru. If he's not in that game right now, they need to remake the whole game.
I got an idea. It's the thing from Viv Ribbon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's the Viv from Viv Ribbon. I don't know what it's called.
The Viv.
And it's level 3 super is me playing that soundtrack in my roommate from college's car, and then it kills me.
I want to see the kid from Eco, but from the American box art. The only way they did Mega Man is prepare cross Tekken. It's the hideous. He looks like the kid from the Phantom Menace, and he's just got horns and he's carrying a big 2x4 around. So that's what I want to see.
I don't know. There's so many to choose from. Where are the Fear Effect girls?
Oh yeah, they're level 3 super as they make out.
Yeah,
and they throw a shirt on the television screen so you can't see it. You say, then that's when you realize that's a mind game playing on you, because then you realize, why didn't I just buy pornography?
Or the ninja,
I would have been happier for it.
Or the ninja from Ninja Shadows of Darkness, or maybe a jet ski from Jet Moto.
The guy from Two
that
Extreme.
Would be amazing.
The guy from Three.
They should totally do the jet ski idea.
One more extreme.
Everyone seems to be remembering Polygon Man now. Like the original, he was the original PlayStation mascot back in 1995 or something.
The T-Rex from the tech demo.
The Manta Ray. Or the Motor Tune Grand Prix characters or whatever.
Bathtub full of ducks. Rubber duckies just pouring into the bathtub.
Okay. Hazukari also asks, despite the innovations the Wii U is bringing, do you still think it's late to the party, or does it have a head start in the next generation of consoles? I don't think it has a head start. I think it's coming out first.
Yeah, I think it's got a late start, if anything, because it seems like it's pretty much the same technology, like, you know, graphics-wise, processor-wise. I think what we'll always have is Metroidvania maps on that controller, just like with the DS. Like, that ended up being the big thing that the DS was known for. It's like, you don't have to pause to look at the map. So,
Metroidvania, though.
Yeah, they'll give it to some Spanish company, just like with Castlevania.
Well, after Other M, I don't think I'd really mind if they gave Metroid to somebody else completely.
Yeah, you can't win either way.
Okay. Akatsuki BK asks, why is the Double Dragon remake getting praised all over the place when everything shown looks awful?
Nostalgia, I guess, really. And people have a lot of goodwill built up towards the developer Way Forward, because they've got this underdog quality to them, because they did Shantae, and that took years to get a sequel. And then they did Mighty Switch Force, which is actually a pretty good game, and none of people have played it. And also, Double Dragon, you know, Double Dragon's been through some pretty tough times, I guess.
Mm. Basically since the beginning, like since Double Dragon 2.
Uh-oh.
I can't even think of anybody who cares about those games. Is this the same Double Dragon remake that's been coming out for like a pretty long time, like half a year or more?
I think this was recently announced. It's Double Dragon Neon or something.
Yeah.
Its official name is Double Dragon Neon. Who knows if that'll change.
I mean, I didn't hear about it at E3, but I remember hearing about it somewhere else. I didn't know it was Way Forward. It's weird. Yeah, their games are usually pretty good, but they just can't balance for shit. Like, they just have the worst difficulty balancing ever. So it kind of ends up ruining their games.
Yeah, I think Double Dragon's also 3D instead of like the 2D that Way Forward's really known for. So that's why it kind of looks. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen some screenshots and it looks like a cheapy remake. That I won't buy, because I bought the original Double Dragon for my Xbox, and why would I want to play that just with a new coat of paint? It's not a very fun game. Double Dragon kind of sucks.
Whoa, Zach. No, you're right. I bought the HD remake, and I was like, why did I love this game so hard?
Yeah.
It's 1987.
Did you keep falling into that stupid lake?
Yes.
Jumping over that bridge?
Keep falling into that stupid whatever, because all the jumps in that game were almost impossible.
Yeah.
All right. Ghost Wheel asks, what do you think about the lack of any new first-party IP from Nintendo and very little from Microsoft? Do we ever get first party, new first party IP from Nintendo? Is that
That's
ever?
What I was thinking. Pikmin.
When does that happen?
Nintendogs plus cats.
Still in Rolling Adventure, they did that.
Oh, right.
They have got some. They did do some stuff from, like, I wouldn't call them third party developers, but they were kind of like people that Nintendo bought up, because they did have Xenoblade in the last story from, like, people they gathered in. So I guess Nintendo does do that from time to time. And I'm kind of interested in seeing what the Monolith Soft people do after Xenoblade, because it was a step in the right direction, definitely.
I don't know. I just thought it was hilarious when it was news that they're making a Super Mario game for the Wii U. Yeah. Breaking news!
Yeah, just that kind of news.
Super obvious thing.
Like another everything.
It's well, and then they showed it, and it's like, okay, another fucking Super Mario. Oh, look, he's got the raccoon suit again.
No, wait, it's a flying squirrel suit, I think.
Oh, like there's a big dick.
Yeah, don't be a totally dick, different. Zach. It's a completely different mammal.
Get it right, man. I mean, there's decent. There's a couple of new IPs. Watchdog, Last of Us, Beyond is a new IP. I mean,
they mentioned, but those are all PlayStation games.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they were asking about Nintendo, which yeah, there ain't nothing.
And I was thinking, I mean. You guys all mentioned Nintendo, but I'm trying to think of the last time Microsoft came out with some new IP.
I don't know.
I mean, since Gears of War, has there been really a new groundbreaking thing that came out exclusively on the Xbox?
The first Mass Effect did. I don't know how much they had to do with that. I guess that's the same time frame as Gears of War.
I don't know. I mean, console exclusive IP is kind of going the, you know, it's...
Yeah, that just doesn't happen anymore.
It doesn't really happen. Like, everybody, publishers want to make money, so they go cross-platform, and at least we're not getting, like, whatever Microsoft's weird-ass attempts at branding mascot characters were.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll
Binks
get...
the time streamer.
Yeah, we'll get that time-traveling cat. Stubbs the zombie.
I don't know. I think probably the question is more, what is not... Where is the original IP? He's saying, where are the console manufacturers? Where's their original IP?
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're just more interested in, like, the licensing deals. They probably make more money off of Netflix than they do.
Yeah. Well, they're, I think that they've sort of solidified themselves more as a platform. Like, they operate more on the idea that they are like your PC than they are just exclusively a video game box.
Right. Sakura Iro Memori asks, since it's my favorite genre, where do you see RPGs heading in the next few years? Lots of Western style stuff, because they really don't make that many, at least they don't import that many JRPGs anymore.
Yeah, and I kind of hope that Xenoblade, the last story, pushed sort of RPGs, at least on the Japanese side, towards almost a more action game kind of approach, because that's a lot of what Last Story does, and where you're taking cover and watching teammates and stuff like that. But, you know, they probably won't catch on to any great extent. They'll probably just be more Tales games, more Tyler or whatever games.
Yeah. I mean, I hope, I'm not really educated on this enough to know, but I hope that you find more JRPG stuff being released through PC platforms like Steam and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the Oath of Kel'Dana was sort of a standout in my Steam library. I didn't mention it when we talked about what games we were playing, because I finished it over a month ago at this point. But, I mean, that was a solid game that was available on Steam that I was kind of surprised to find there. And I hope that more RPGs kind of make the trek over. Because I think that there's a lot of room in that market for people who will pour some hours into something that's available on their computer that they may not necessarily if they can only play it on their TV. Which, who knows if those people even exist anymore.
I just think everything is an RPG now, and RPGs are everything. like Dragon's Dogma is an action. It's an RPG that's an action game. Like Mass Effect is a shooter that's also an RPG. Call of Duty is an RPG. Like he's probably asking, like, where's all the JRPGs?
Probably.
And we got Tales of Graces, so please buy that because I like Tales games.
Hey, Final Fantasy 13-2, man, it came out.
Three or whatever.
Nobody knows why. Why didn't they make Final Fantasy X-2?
Isn't Ni No Kuni due out this year?
Oh yeah,
that's true. Yeah,
it's coming out
this year.
With the incredibly obvious like difference in quality between the Ghibli animated sequences and the character animation in the game.
Dude, I don't even care. It's still like
it's level 5. Maybe if we buy this
just to play that game,
finally give us Dark Cloud 3.
Maybe.
That's all I want.
I want them to bring over Guild 1, whatever it's called, Guild 01 and their Crimson Shroud.
Yeah. That's like, it's like the internet game, right? It's like one of those sort of ARG kind of games, or am I thinking of something else?
No, that's the one that has four games in one. There's one by Yasumi Matsuno, and then there's another one by Suda51. And then, like the guy who did Seaman, he came up with a game that's actually a luggage handling game in an airport.
Oh yeah, I'm thinking of something else. Yeah. But yeah, this looks cool. I mean, I remember the cover is that dude's face, right?
That's it.
I mean, I'll play pretty much anything level 5 makes, except for Professor Layton. I'm done with that. Like, but that's what makes the money. It's so frustrating that everybody loves those games, but they're all the same.
Okay. Silver Husky asks, can Sony recapture interest in the PS Vita given its lackluster launch and stiff competition from Apple and Nintendo? Anybody?
No.
No?
No. I mean, they didn't last time.
Yeah, it just, when they announced that and it came out, I played with one, and I just, every time I look at it, I'm like, we've moved past this. Like,
I just don't think that the Vita cannot beat the iPhone just in convenience. Like, they need to just start making games where you can just download them, like, whenever you want, wherever you want, which they kind of do, but they're still, like, $30 or $40, where, like, yesterday, I was like, oh, well, I finished the book I was reading on my iPhone, which is another thing that iPhones can do that Vitas cannot. And now I'm bored. What am I going to do? Well, I heard about Infinity Blade 2. How much does it cost? $7. Like, what's $7? It might as well be $0. And then I just buy it. And, like, that's why the iPhone ends up winning, I think.
I'm really hoping that Gravity Rush is as fun as it was during the demo, because that's probably the only Vita game I'm really looking forward to that's not a repackaging of something else. And I think that says a lot there, because you're not seeing too much in the future. I mean, when I look at the list of Vita games, just about everything is something that's going to be available on the 3DS, or it's a repackaged version of what you'd see on a system. Like, I think even Dragon's Crown, which I remember when the Vita was launched, that was the thing everybody was going nuts over as far as the original IPs went. But that's also on the PlayStation 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't really understand that it's both. And I don't know if it's the same or if there's supposed to be some interoperability between the two of them.
All right. Again, from Nicholas Cage, anybody looking forward to Anarchy Reigns, or is it just me?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of interesting, because that actually is supposedly completely finished. Platinum Games said that so, but Sega delayed it for some reason.
Well,
people are kind of wondering why.
As I understand, it is completely localized, yeah. And it's region-free on the PS3. So if people really want it, they can just buy it and not have to wait. But I don't think I really understand what it is. It's like a
brawler, basically.
Itadaki Street, but a brawler. It's like all these like fan favorite characters.
Yeah, it seems like it's almost more like Mad World 2, but without the, you know, black and white color palette.
Mm.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it even includes that guy from there. But
yeah, it's got Bayonetta. It's got a couple people.
I've been interested in it since it you know, they originally started showing trailers of it. Like, it feels like that game's been coming out forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm still kind of psyched about it.
Okay, and finally from Zeruda, anyone excited about Wreck-It Ralph, which was mentioned earlier? I gotta say that trailer is great, and yes, I really want to see that movie.
Yeah, I almost kind of resent how much the trailer pushes my buttons, because they basically start with a Talking Heads song, and they have all these cameos of obscure game characters. Like, there's even a guy from like Cyborg Justice or something, the Genesis, and that's, yeah. So I do kind of resent being manipulated that much, but it looks interesting.
You know, that's a secret, though. Like, if you go into Disney Feature Animation right now, they've got your picture up on the wall. They're like, if we get this guy...
This guy.
Like, if they really wanted, they'd have characters like, I don't know, Alicia Dragoon. Incredibly obscure stuff. But, you know, who knows? They might.
I don't know. Anybody else?
I think the most interesting thing about the movie to me is how they got the licensing for all those characters. Because, you know, there's no way that you couldn't... You look at that scene where he is talking to the support group, and, you know, Dictator is right there. It's like, right. That's the guy. There's nobody else who looks like that. So I wonder how they got Capcom to agree to let him be in that movie.
I would venture a guess that all of those companies jumped at the chance to have their video game characters in a gigantic Disney animated feature, I would not imagine that it was difficult at all for them to get whatever they wanted. Those movies are huge.
I guess that's true.
You know, now that John Lasseter runs Disney Feature Animation, they are the powerhouse. So, yeah, I don't know. It's not a Pixar, but it's the same, basically the same people anyway. So
I am pretty amused, though, that the number one complaint is that Zangief is in with the villains. He's in, like, the villain support group, even though he's not really a bad guy in the games.
Whatever, it's
and
funny.
People are basically assuming that, oh, they don't really know the games. They're just latching on.
They're basing it off Street Fighter, the movie.
Yeah, he was totally a villain in that, although he did turn over a new leaf by the end.
Yeah,
the cartoon, well, he was a villain too, but yeah.
Whatever, he's a Soviet Russian. He's a bad guy.
Yeah,
shut the fuck up.
History, you idiot.
Hey, man, you know, some of those were just people Blast just off. Trying to get by.
How many of them were giant men wrestling bears, Dave?
That's true. He backed off longer than Rocky 3 or 4.
All right, well, that about wraps it up, guys. Thanks again for another post-E3 podcast. As always, it's a pleasure to have you all on, so thanks a lot.
Yeah, no, that was a lot. That was a lot of podcasting.
Yeah, yes, it was.
It's like 2 hours. Anybody
is Obama still the president?
Okay, everyone, that's our show. Big thanks to Todd, Dave, and Joel for stopping on by. Theme song's Bucharest by the band The New Division. You can check them out at thenewdivision.net. Don't forget, subscribe to our new feed on iTunes and leave us a rating or a review. We would really appreciate it, and we will see you all next week.